they say compassion is illegal. And the police said that to me. I had more than 100 police. I interacted with more than 100 police over that period of time. And that's what they told me.
Welcome to Conversations That Matter, everybody. I'm your host, Alex Newman. We have a very special guest today to talk about one of the most important issues on the horizon, and that is, of course, communist China. Her name is Kay Rubacek. She's an author, celebrated author, an award-winning filmmaker, and a distinguished journalist for NTD and Epoch Times. She's a third-generation fighter of communism. Her family actually fled communism in Russia back in the 1920s, and then her and her husband had to flee Australia because the socialism was creeping and getting worse and worse. Fortunately, she left before the COVID madness emerged, and it got even more crazy. So she left over 10 years ago. Now she's still committed for fighting for truth and stopping communism and socialism in America. Her and her husband, they live up in upstate New York. And her new book is called Who Are China's Walking Dead? Kay, thank you so much for joining us today. Well, let's start with the obvious question. Who are China's walking dead?
Well, when I first heard that term, China's walking dead, that came from a high-ranking former Chinese Communist Party official. I was interviewing quite a few of them. I interviewed dozens for a movie that I made called Finding Courage. And I wanted them to tell me what is it behind the Chinese Communist Party that allows and encourages people and gets them to do these horrific human rights abuses and torture and brainwashing, because I was interviewing victims of that and I needed to understand from the perpetrators. Now, I never expected anyone to tell me a term like that, to call themselves China's walking dead. And when I first heard that, it was early on in one of my interviews with a former police commissioner from the capital of China, Beijing. He was one of the ones high up in the Ministry of Security at the time of 1989, the Tiananmen Square massacre, where 10,000 students and innocent citizens were killed by the government. And so he was there at the time. He was one of the officials that had to pull the trigger and send the army soldiers out to kill. And he told me, he said, we have become walking corpses, soulless bodies, walking flesh. And I had to stop the translator at that point during my interviews, because I rarely stop an interview like that. But I had to, because that was just a term that was too disturbing for me. And I had a translation simultaneously in my ear. And I said to the translator, what is he saying? And she said, yeah, that's correct. And I said, okay, can we use the term walking dead? Is that a fair translation? And she said, yeah. And so I then proceeded to do more interviews. I was interviewing former secret, national secret agent, army colonel, judge, a civil and criminal judge, and a man who ran not just one slave labor prison camp in China, but multiple. And so I proceeded to ask them, because I'm a journalist, I just would say, have you heard of this term, the walking dead? And they said, of course. Yeah, this is what we have become. And it had been foretold. The academics from China who left when the Chinese Communist Party took in saw that this is where it was going to go. And more than 50 years ago, they said, we will become the walking dead. And that's where I realized, you know, we really got to look back at history. And that's how this term came about.
That's fascinating. And you have some direct experience with kind of the brutality of this system, with the walking dead, these people who are willing to commit atrocities. You were actually arrested in China. Tell us about that.
I was. Not only have I interviewed more than 100 survivors of communist tyranny and perpetrators as well, people who had to do that horrific torture and brainwashing, I spent a day, 23 hours to be exact, inside arrested by the Chinese Communist Party. And what I witnessed during that time was just mind-blowing, because I really didn't understand the evils of communism. Even though my family escaped it from three countries over three generations prior to that, we hadn't been taught that in school. So when I came face to face with Chinese police officers that were using all these coercive tactics, I was assaulted. They tried to intimidate me. They tried to use all these tactics against me. And you know what the most shocking thing was, is that I was arrested for holding a banner on Tiananmen Square that had one word on it: Well, the word, the banner had three words on it, but when I was being arrested, the word I was holding was compassion. So the three words were truth, compassion, and tolerance. But I was the last one holding this big banner, and it said compassion. I looked over, and I had, I'm tall. I'm 6 foot tall. So I'm quite tall. And then these police officers, they were not very tall, and they were coming closer and closer to figure out how to arrest me and get me into a van. And they were not they were not in uniform. There are more undercover police officers on Tiananmen Square in China than there are uniformed police officers. And so within 30 seconds of raising that banner, I was surrounded by police and I was brutally thrown into a van. But they arrested me for holding the word compassion. And the real kicker is that they told me when I was subsequently arrested, they said, that is illegal. Those words are illegal in China. And this is where, under this ideology, socialism, communism, you know, we say it's a Chinese Communist Party, but it's a socialist state. They say themselves they are a socialist state. Yeah. They have come to this extent where they say compassion is illegal. And the police said that to me. I had more than 100 police. I interacted with more than 100 police over that period of time. And that's what they told me.
Wow. Pretty amazing. And so you've now turned some of this, including some of these interviews, into this book and also into a new film. It's called Finding Courage. Tell us a little bit about the movie.
So the movie is what spawned the book. So the movie is about a family in China and now living in America and how they overcame tyranny. Faith over fear, courage over tyranny. And I really wanted to tell a story of hope because I think we need that right now. We need to know that there are people in China who have broken free of this evil ideology. And they've been doing that for a long time. But I wanted to tell a story of one family. And this was a very powerful story, I felt. The main character, she was a former high-ranking official, official journalist for the state. And so was her husband. And they were able to get us secretly filmed undercover footage inside a Chinese slave labor prison camp. And also we interviewed her brother who had spent, we followed his journey overcoming really PTSD after spending 13 years in a Chinese prison for printing flyers, mind you. And I have all the documentation to verify their story. That was very important to me. But Finding Courage is a story of how victims overcame the tragedy. But I really needed to understand how the perpetrators could really do such evil things, such horrible crimes towards people, especially innocent people. And that's when I realized I needed to do these interviews with former Chinese officials, and I never expected to turn it into a book. But that's where it led, because their stories are so eye-opening and we don't hear from them. They don't speak. It's very hard to get them to talk to me, and especially to get a few on camera. But if you get a few minutes in the movie, but the majority of it is in the book. The book is a big extension of the movie. And people said to me, can't you just put these guys and turn them into a movie? And I said, you wouldn't watch it. And if you did, you would probably fall asleep, because what they say in almost every sentence is terms like we are the walking dead. It makes no sense, because it's coming from this communist socialist culture that they've been living. They've been born and raised into this for more than 70 years. And basically what I saw from this book, what I found from all these interviews and what I put into my book, is that there is hope. But the hope for us is that we learn from China, because that is the worst case scenario of what will happen to a nation under socialism. And I'm concerned that that's where we're heading in the US if we don't turn things around and learn from what's right in front of us.
Yeah, very good. Well, when we get to the other side of this break, I want to ask you about some of what's happening in America and if there are any parallels with what you saw in China, what you know of the Soviet Union, and maybe even more importantly, how we resist this. How do we turn back the tide? I mean, you kind of watched it develop in Australia. Obviously, Australia is not quite at China levels yet, but certainly moving in that direction way too fast for comfort. So folks, stay with us. We are going to go to a very brief break. And when we get back on the other side, we're going to spend some more time with Kay Rubicek. She's the author of the new book, Who Are China's Walking Dead? She's also got an incredible new movie as well that we will spend a little bit more time on. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these quick messages from our sponsors. This is Conversations That Matter, and I'm your host, Alex Newman. Okay, I've talked to a lot of people in the know who say that Communist China is the biggest existential threat to America right now. Just talked to Peter Navarro last week. He said this is the biggest threat facing America today by far. He said it actually makes the Nazis and Imperial Japan look relatively insignificant by comparison in terms of how huge this threat is to us. The Assistant Secretary of State told me the same thing. Assistant Secretary of State for International Organizations, Kevin Moley, says this is the biggest threat that we've ever faced in our history. What do you think? Is Communist China a threat not just to its own people, but to the American people as well?
Absolutely. And it's about time that people are saying exactly what you just said, because for more than 20 years, I've been very concerned about what's going on in China. As you mentioned earlier, I've spent a day in a Chinese prison face to face with the propaganda tactics and the lies and the deception that is fueling the, you know, underlies the apparatus and modus operandus of the Chinese Communist Party. That's how they operate. They have not changed. They have not changed since their inception. And that's what we really have to wake up to, is that we've been duped into thinking that the Chinese Communist Party is going to change. It's going to democratize with economic power and funding from us. Essentially, we're funding them in a big way with our businesses, with our intellectual property. They're stealing from us on a daily basis phenomenal amounts of money through intellectual property theft. We are buying so much from China. We are so dependent on them for our pharmaceuticals. Meanwhile, they're sending fentanyl through the southern border. I was there at the border last year and I watched cartel members bringing women and children in over the river, in one little bend in the river, one tiny bend in the river. They were bringing a decoy over. We had a big light and a big camera filming this cartel member. So happy. He just kept bringing them back again and again. When he got tired, they switched it out. Another cartel member came over and they were absolutely happy for us to be filming them. Meanwhile, just behind us, while the National Guard and Border Patrol were absolutely overwhelmed and distracted in front where we were with women and children, just behind us were the drugs and the arms coming across the river in the darkness and getting through the border. Now, I saw that more than a year ago, and we know that the fentanyl deaths, we're talking hundreds every day of Americans being killed. These drugs are essentially coming from China. So while we're sending our money and we're dependent so much on the Chinese Communist Party for our drugs, they're, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, they're bringing deadly poison through the southern border. We have to wake up and stop compromising on short-term just selling out for a few bucks in the short term, because that's what we've done for too long. And it's about time people are saying exactly what you said, that yes, this is the biggest threat. And that's something that I've been aware of for a long time. And all of my works are in the last sort of 10 years have been very much related to exposing what's going on in China, because if we don't, that's what's coming here.
So it seems to me like almost the whole Western world is gradually moving more and more towards socialism and more away from the foundations in freedom, individual liberty, and so on that really defined the Western world. Do you notice that trend? And if so, how do we combat it? Where does this lead if we don't stop it?
Yes. And, you know, I notice it in as much as that we keep saying that it is the case. We keep accepting. It's the same way that we have compromised our values for those values of the Chinese Communist Party. The Chinese Communist Party, you look at its history, you look at its actions, you even look at its writings, its speeches, all of its leaders, lies, deception, killing, propaganda. This is how they operate. So for us to deal with the CCP, we are dealing with a criminal state. And that's where we have to stop compromising. And we have to stop. And it's the same thing what's happening, that the parallel I'll get to here in the US in just one second. But what we've done with China is that we have started to repeat the lies of the Chinese Communist Party. So many people have said to me, well, what would happen to the Chinese people if the Chinese Communist Party wasn't there? If there was no CCP, China would collapse into chaos. Lie. That is a lie that we have started to repeat from the Chinese Communist Party. It's a propaganda, disinformation lie that had been planted years ago. We are falling for it. And so I ask those people and say, well, what about China's 5,000 years of culture that existed before China? The Chinese Communist Party has duped so many people inside China. Even, you know, currently there is headlines that you can find where they, the propaganda media in China, will say that China cannot exist without the CCP, and that the CCP, you know, China was founded in 1949 when the CCP started. We are starting to fall for these lies. You know, it's ridiculous, right? You think about it, hang on, that doesn't make sense. But when people say, when I call out the Chinese Communist Party as a criminal state, some people say, well, that's anti-China. It's not. It's not. It's very pro-China, and it's very pro-Chinese people. And we have to stop being duped by those lies. And it's the same slippery slope that we're on here in the US, because we keep saying, this is the trend. This is where it's going. We're going that way, everybody. How do we deal with it? How do we make the journey a little less difficult? The biggest lie of socialism, started by Karl Marx, and, you know, maybe before that, but you can see in the Communist Manifesto, he said basically that socialism is inevitable. Suck it up. This is where we're going. Now, that is a big lie. If we accept that, goodbye. You know, the way to fight this tyranny is to see through the lies and stop accepting them, because they come in very pervasive ways. The propaganda is very pervasive, and it comes through different channels that you may not expect, where you're hearing lies that have disinformation that's come exactly from the Chinese Communist Party, but maybe it's coming through your television on another media. We really have to start to wake up to the propaganda techniques and manipulation that's being used against us, because it is. It is, it's very pervasive in the culture. And we have to stop accepting that socialism is inevitable and really look and say, well, no, these are our values. They are worth standing by. And we've learned from our experience with China, we can't change socialism. It has failed everywhere, every single time. It will fail again. If we allow it and say this is the trend, well, then that's where we're going to head. I think it really, the decision lies in all of us getting clarity and saying, no, that's not what we want. We want the real foundations of this country, and we're going to restore that.
And why is this happening in America, Kay? Why is it that Americans are willing to go along with this, at least so many of them, when we should be able to see so clearly what's happened in history? We should be able to see so clearly how it works so well in America to have freedom. Why are Americans falling for this?
Because we've been targeted for a long time. When I was in Australia, I was brought up to love Coca-Cola, love Hollywood movie stars, but to look down on Americans as selfish. That is a big lie that has been put out against the founding fathers of this nation. And that is a communist lie, because it's you can go back even to the congressional record in 1963 when Cleon Skousen, you know, had the 45 goals of communism entered into the record of Congress. And one of those goals was to trying to remember the exact words, but basically to slander the founding fathers and call them selfish. And so I didn't realize that's what I was trained to believe as well. And people that said to me when I was coming to America, don't go to America. You might become like Americans. My goodness me. When I came to America and I've interviewed more than 100 people, Americans, about their hopes and dreams, and traveled to more than 14 states as a journalist here. And I can say that it is not true. You know, the most warmest, unselfish group of people, but we have been targeted from the outside as well as from the inside, where the world has been trained to look down on America, and Americans have been trained to look down on themselves. It's a big lie that we have to turn around.
Yeah, and that's what communists always do. They lie, they lie, they lie, they use deception, and they cheat and they steal. Kay, we've only got about 30 seconds left. What's the best way to get the book? What's the best way to watch the movie, and how can people follow you?
Please go to my website. It's my name, kayrubacek.com. That's KayRubacek.com. From there, you can get a link to, you can get links to all my works, my social media profiles. Connect with me there. I'd love to hear from you. And please, yes, you can get China's Walking Dead on Amazon, but also directly from my website and the movie Finding Courage.
Very good. Kay Rubacek, Who Are China's Walking Dead? Thank you so much for joining us. All right, folks, I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you all.